It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple unveils Ring in the New Year activity challenge. NFL Sunday Ticket may not be in Apple's future. Apple scales back Mac Pro plans, and another great round of Apple Watch tips. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 431, recorded Sunday, December 18th, 2022. Double Tap Tips.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom.
Hello. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Well, I know that I asked for a different time today because I had to do something, but I didn't realize it's the exact time as the World Cup final. So I've got streaming on my iPad right next to here. And
what is the World Cup? What is that again?
I don't know.
I haven't heard a word about it in the past several weeks. Yeah. wow. This is our last show of the year. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it just June, like last week?
Shoot, it was like January.
Yeah. What happened to this year? It's crazy.
A bit of a dumpster fire, too.
Yeah. It wasn't, certain ways wasn't the best. It's a mixed bag, put it that way.
You know, we're about 3 years into the first COVID reports. Isn't that amazing?
The first
COVID-19 news reports about 3 years into that. Three years ago. 2019. December 2019.
Three years.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, episode 431. I know.
Only feels like 376, though.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, there were some short episodes in there, so we won't get into that. I think what we're going to do today, last show of the year, let's do, instead of what we like this week, we're going to do some tips. These are always great to do a show about these because we forget that you know, we've been so involved in the watch for so long. We forget when people get a new watch, they don't know a lot of this stuff. And there's a learning curve on some of this, you know, to understand how things work. So we like to do this every now and then, just do some tips. So instead of what we like, we'll do that. But we do have a couple of little news tidbits, if you will, that are timely here. The first one is that Apple, I think it's the fourth year in a row, speaking of timing on things, that they've done the Ring in the New Year challenge, activity challenge specifically. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do to get this challenge kicks off the first of the year is you have to close all three of your activity rings for 7 days in a row. Okay. So that is a bigger challenge than they usually do. Usually they require you to do one thing, you know, run a 5K or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit different because you got to close all three rings for seven days in a row. Now, if you're one of those people who consistently do close all the rings, this is probably not that big a deal, but this is a great way to get people, as it says, ring in the new year, because that's when people start their exercise programs, right?
Yeah.
They have their New Year's resolutions is to work out. So it all ties in pretty well. Have you seen the stickers for this one, by the way?
Yeah, I have. I'm seriously eyeballing the donut ring.
the dancing or aerobic donut ring is pretty funny.
With sprinkles.
You've got a skier. And the sprinkles, I think, fall off as he's jumping around. You've got a skier, I think, here. You've got a punching bag, boxing. So there's one boxing there. And you got another one just doing aerobics.
I thought that was a big old 1986 cell phone. That's what I thought that was.
Well, we're looking at, I'm sorry, I looked at a couple other stories. I didn't mark the ones that showed them animated. So, but they are animated. So
anyway. that would have helped, Tom, because I clicked it. It didn't do anything.
Yeah. So anyway, both of you planning on trying to get this challenge? Yeah.
Oh, try. Yeah, sure.
Try.
I'm like at 1,300 straight days of all my rings being closed. So this will be nothing for me.
Wow, 1,300.
Yeah.
Well, how many hours is that? You should sum that up.
I've done some day. You know, you can change your goals now. So some of those days I've taken the free day.
Okay.
But still, you know, not a whole lot. Like now, I'm traveling for business, I'm just not going to do it. I go way down.
I was going to say, how do you do the free day? You just turn down your goals, right?
Yeah, 200 from 500 to 200, from 30 minutes to 5, and then from like 12 to 8 or something.
That's exactly what I do on days where I know I'm not going to. I can't get there.
It's like a regular Vincent day.
Put my activity rings on Vincent Day. that's funny. But there's our first tip for people is you may not know you can adjust those. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question though. You put them back to your normal one. Do you ever go up from your normal one? Do you ever increase the challenge?
Have not.
I have not either. I don't think anybody does. I think once you reach your kind of mid-range of what you know you can complete, you know, by the end of the day, I don't know many people who push it beyond that.
You know, sadly, when I learned about this tip of turning it down, I never turned it back up.
No, Vincent, you can go back up. It's not permanent.
Like, hey, this made this a lot easier.
Hey, Tom, once in a while after I do a lengthy, you know, consecutive set of healthy workouts, it will say, hey, do you want to increase your calories to this? And I'll say no.
Yeah, I do remember it saying that. And as we mentioned on the last show, the app of the year is Gentler Streak. And the whole reason for that app is to give people that break. It coaches you into not over working out, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So
maybe that's something Apple incorporates eventually into this. But anyway, there it is starting. And I know everybody's going to do this immediately at midnight on New Year's Eve is to start working out to get this challenge. So, no, at least you don't have to do it on the day one, right?
True. Seven consecutive days.
Yeah. During. Oh wait. It says first week of the year.
Right. And all drinks for 7 days in a row in January. Start.
In January.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. It starts in the first week of the year. Sorry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, that would be even tougher.
That would be like you know, you can't sit around and watch football all day.
No.
Because you know you'd lose it.
January 1st through 7th only. No, it's not that way. Okay. All right. Moving on real quick. It's very sad to hear this. Yesterday, I guess this news kind of broke. Apple has reportedly exited the NFL Sunday ticket negotiations. They bowed out. And they were, for quite a while, and we've talked about it a number of times on the show, the front runner. Mm-hmm. To acquire NFL Sunday Ticket from DirecTV, which currently has it. It's been a loss leader for them, but they did use it to drive their subscriber growth, but they've had it since 1994. They're not doing it anymore. And I think the three contenders were Apple, Google, and Amazon, and Apple had been the front runner forever. Mm-hmm. And this is apparently this comes right after the NFL commissioner last week said negotiations had reached a very critical point. And now we're getting a little bit of information as to what that was and what happened. Now, we know Apple in the past has been really on a tear here for getting live sports with Major League Baseball and soccer. To the tune of 85 million and 250 million, with soccer in particular doing a 10-year deal. So Apple definitely, this is something they really, really want. But apparently, And we talked about this too, and this is interesting because we had suggested how they were going to make you pay for it. Well, apparently Apple wanted to include Sunday Ticket in its $6.99 a month Apple TV Plus subscription. That's crazy that they would even think of doing it. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that that price tag is so low, it would threaten the over-the-air TV audience, CBS and Fox, that already have contracts with the NFL.
What a shame.
Too close to that price. Well, what's a shame is that Apple couldn't figure out a better way to do it. That's not how they're doing soccer.
No, it's not.
They're making you pay a separate, was it 15 a month or something for everything? And that's something they could have easily done here. Apparently the other sticking point was Apple wanted in-market and international rights. So in other words,
unknowns, right?
No blackouts. And they wouldn't do that. And according to this, Apple could not see the logic. They didn't quite understand what they were doing. And I kind of understand it has to do with their existing contracts with CBS and Fox.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah. So now it's either going to be Amazon, who already had, they already have Thursday night football with the NFL, which, by the way, was the debut of that generated more Prime memberships for them over a 3-hour period than any other event in Amazon history. That includes Prime Days, Black Friday, Cyber Mondays, all of that. So it's been very successful for them. And then the other one is Google, which would be YouTube TV. So it would probably be incorporated somehow into that.
Right.
The only reason I'm kind of sad about this is, and maybe this is why Apple backed out. I was hoping that Apple could drag the NFL kicking and screaming into the modern day streaming. But apparently not.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to do that.
So we might get more Al Michaels, but what's going on here?
The what? What was that, Vincent?
We're going to get more of Al Michaels or?
Well, he does.
Al Michaels, yeah.
He's doing is he doing Thursday night, right?
Yeah, it is Thursday. Yeah.
And he's had he's had the worst luck with just horrible teams.
Horrible games.
Matched up against each other when nothing happens. Yeah. And it's just one of those weird things. And maybe that's what the NFL did was give them Thursday night. They gave them the games they knew would not be that spectacular. But
you know what's amazing? I just finished a book, which I'm going to put into my What I Like This Week inventory, maybe soon after we start the new year. It's called The League. And I've read books about NFL football before. This was the start of the league. Oh. And I couldn't put it down. It was from day one when they all met in Canton, Ohio in a car dealership and put together 12 teams to start a league. And it went through decade by decade. It's funny because the end of the book was kind of TV, where TV came in. Oh. And the first contract was like the New York Giants, $2,500 to host a game.
What year are we talking there?
That's 56, 55, And then that NFL championship game of 1957, it was the Giants and the Colts, was viewed by 40 million people. And everyone's like, holy crap, TV's going to work. So that now here in 2022, we're talking $3.5 billion a year for one league. Yes.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And for streaming, not for the other games.
Yeah. And it's a shame because I see both sides of it, right? I see Apple's side of it where they just don't understand why they're not going to change how they do things. But then I see the NFL side is like, look, we got existing contracts, you know, and the NFL's also messing around with their own deal, their own app, right? Mm-hmm. So with streaming and things. So it's kind of a shame because I really think Apple could have brought a lot to the table for this.
So, Me too.
We'll see what happens. This isn't, you know, this is all not speculation. No one's, I think, given an official account of this yet, but that's what's going on.
I've been in enough deals in my life where the executive leadership has said, we're done. And then 90 days later, you're signing a contract. So it's happened.
Yeah. It all depends on what Google and Amazon can wrap up with them. All right. One other thing I want to talk about, this is from Bloomberg's weekly rundown of all things Mac here. And this is interesting because we're at the end of the year, and Apple had claimed 2 years ago when they introduced Apple Silicon that it would take 2 years for them to redesign and put out Apple Silicon in all their computers. Mm-hmm. And there's one major computer that hasn't done it, and that's the Mac Pro. And they're obviously not going to make that deadline. They haven't even announced anything.
I can see that, though.
What, that they're not going to do it?
No, if it's just that one particular, I mean, it's a little more difficult.
It's more difficult. And the other reason here, and it's kind of explained in this, is that they changed what they were going to do. I think initially they were going to take an M1 and create an ultra version of it, which mm-hmm. they did, but they put that in the Mac Studio. So then they're saying, okay, well, then we're going to shift to the M2 generation for the Mac Pro. That delayed it right there. Mm-hmm. The other thing that happened was they were making these in, or parts of them, at least in Texas. And that was famously under the Trump administration, kind of a threat there that Tim Cook shifted some of that production into Texas to make sure it was made in the USA. Well, now that he's not in office, they can move production back to where they feel more comfortable. But this time it's still, you know, Asia is usually where they're going to be doing mm-hmm. that. But now they're talking about mm-hmm. Vietnam being the place to mm-hmm. create the high-end Mac. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things shifting, which would delay it. And then typically, if you think about it, it's a very niche market, right?
Very.
Who can spend over $10,000 just to get the machine? That doesn't include all the things you have to add to it, right?
Yeah.
So for that type of market, yeah, I guess you would make this your last one. I'm just curious as to what the heck they're going to do with it, because after what they did with the Mac Studio, my mind was just kind of blown as to what this Mac Pro is going to be.
Right. But, I mean, I'm wondering whether or not they don't start from the previous generation and kind of upgrade that. They start from the ground up and build mm-hmm. around the chip.
Right.
And it's a wholly different form factor. They might have gone and, you know, built the first version and ended up with the Studio. And they're like, wow, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Are you going to get past that?
And we don't need much bigger than this right now.
Yeah.
It blew past everything else, you know.
Yeah, it blew more chips together.
It was close to the current Mac Pro in a lot of benchmarks. So maybe that took the pressure off and they didn't have to do it. But yeah, the question is, what form factor does it take? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be this giant, you know, liquid cooled thing anymore.
And like you said, I mean, it depends on the market. How many people actually buy this version? I mean, besides like commercial purposes and stuff like that.
And that's really what it is. But those people, they've been serving them forever, right? There's always been a pro type version for people mm-hmm. in those fields. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
I'd like to see one in the wild. I haven't. Besides that, the store. I don't know anybody who's...
Go to Tom's house. He's got three, I think.
No. I've got the Mac Studio instead. But no, that I never... It got priced out mm-hmm. of affordability for the prosumer, which is kind of what I consider myself. You know, not in a pro company, you know. Usually it's companies that are buying these things
too. Yeah, usually you see it at a production studio or something like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and also, we talked about the M1, M2 chip for the devices we use. I mean, it's like, who knows the difference for what we do. But on this device, it actually may make a difference for what people do. So
definitely.
This is what it's kind of manufactured for.
Yeah, it was exciting when, you know, these last couple of years with all the new M1 and speculation of all the M2 stuff and just what they were doing with it was so fascinating. And I just can't wait to see what they come up with next, how far they take it, you know.
Yeah.
I want the M2 powered car is what I want, but I'm not gonna get that.
Probably not.
We'll see. Yeah. And then the other thing I want to touch on real quickly, and it'll be the last thing we talk about here before we get to the tips, is because it's going to be a while before we talk about this again, and it's kind of making news right now. Apple is actually planning, and I can't believe this, to open up the iPhone and the iPad to alternative app stores and side loading in an effort to meet EU requirements that take effect in 2024. That means for the first time, iPhone and iPad users, and this is in Europe, will be able to install third-party software from alternative app stores, the web, or other locations. The pressure has gotten to them, I guess, and the threat of fines if they don't do this by 2024 is making them actually have to make this move. And Apple has always said, and I've always agreed with them, that it would bring privacy and security problems.
Yeah, the security thing is a real thing. It's one of the differentiators between the kind of the Google, Android ecosystem versus iOS. Mm-hmm. That's gonna open up a whole nother Pandora's box.
I mean, that's been the beauty of the whole Apple Mac system. I think I'm speaking for our listeners as well. If you're a fan of Apple or the Apple Watch, or then you're listening to this podcast, you probably agree with a lot of this. They keep talking about the subscription, the commission, the 15 to 30% commission that Apple charges on the App Store. Mm-hmm. And that's a small part of it. But I think for Apple, it is the bigger picture. It is control 100%. Of privacy and security. Right. And you're not going to get that when you open it up to third party deals. Well, it's just not going to happen. Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing, what you're about to say, but also means the apps too, right? The privacy and security of the apps. Are there other app stores out there? I mean, I don't even know.
What? Oh, for Apple?
Yeah. I mean, I know you can go like maybe on a website and download something, but are there other formal app stores out there that are, you know, not Google and Google and Apple? In Europe or something? I mean, is it the infrastructure already there and they're just preparing for it, or
you'd have to jailbreak the phone, wouldn't you?
No.
No.
What now, you mean?
Yeah, right now.
I'm thinking that it's like, you know, with like, you know, how there's Steam, there's the Google Play Store. I mean, those apps to be able to install and then they can sell apps as well to iPhone users. It'd be the iPhone apps, of course, but that opens up a whole nother market for them.
It's just scary because, you know, who's going to control it? I mean, you can have Wild Wild West, as I used to call it.
I think from a legal perspective, they have to do it. And from the EU's perspective, I can see that from a competitive and fairness perspective. But like, you know, for us talking to our listeners and users, don't do it. Legally they have to oblige, but like you don't have to download something from a third party store,
right? And I have to wonder, how is this gonna, I mean, man, talking about a nightmare, just having to kind of troubleshoot issues going forward, right? So if you bring your phone in, it's something weird's happening, it's maybe because of what you installed on it. Right now, it's very clear what the issue would be. But once you start opening that up to whatever, and there's no regulation of it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was going, Tom. Regulation, that's a good word. I didn't think of it at the time. That's what I was thinking. But you know what? Agreeing to it and doing it are two different things. And over time, they're going to have to see how it all plays out. And soon as some things start happening, you know, the governments will look back at it hopefully and say, okay, maybe we need to do this instead of that in for regulation security. So again, agreeing and doing are two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the EU has been, what is the other thing they're doing? Oh, the standardization of the USB-C is the other thing that they're pushing, which, you know, could eventually stifle innovation in that. Right. But, yeah, I don't know. This is tough. This is tough when you're talking about the difference between the EU and the United States and our laws and what's what and how things work. Yeah, you may end up with two different standards, right?
Oh, sure.
Because if I understand this correctly, side loading would still not be allowed in the US. It would only be in the EU markets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for now. For now. Anyway, it's a mess, and it's going to be interesting to watch, see what happens. Because I would hate for that to have to come to the watch as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. True. True.
Yeah. To get really weird things, you know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Right. Wouldn't it be cool if you put this and this? Yeah. But maybe.
No, I mean, it's almost every other day where you read articles, like 5 apps that are stealing your data. And you're like, you look at it, you pull it up and it's all Chrome or, you know, it's not, it's all Google Play kind of apps.
Right. Yeah. But again, who's controlling all that? Who's watching that to make sure? It's hard enough for Apple, much less, you know.
Certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Enough of that.
All right.
Let's move on. Before we get to our tips, just a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. I want to give a shout out and thank you to Ross Mantle for becoming a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Thank you, Ross. We really do appreciate your support. All right, let's do some tips. These are fun because I always end up learning something, right? Something I wasn't aware of, that sometimes you guys are doing stuff that, you know, or I'm doing something you haven't been doing or whatever. Everybody's got their own deal with their watch and it does change over time. So these are always good to go through. I guess I'll go ahead and kick this off. The first tip I've got here is, and I think this is new to watch OS 9. I'm pretty sure it is. When you're doing, activity, you're doing a workout, right? And you want to, during the workout, you're going for a run, you're doing whatever, and you want to check on your activity rings. Normally, you would have to exit out of the workout app, right? You'd have to switch over to the activity app to see, or in my case, I'd jump back to the watch face and then tap on the complication of the activity app to see my rings, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now you don't have to. You can simply scroll with the digital crown, scroll up, and you'll get a new page that shows you your activity rings, the progress in the workout itself, which is really, really handy. If you're doing, especially if you're doing a running workout or whatever, you don't have a lot of, it's kind of hard to maneuver through different menus on your wrist. Very, very helpful to be able to see that right there as you're working out. I kind of tie it to the it's similar to when you're playing music at the same time, to be able to swipe left and see the music and control it while without exiting the workout app. So nice little addition to view your activity rings during a workout. So there you go.
Yeah, good one.
All right. Vincent, why don't you go next?
Yeah, so this tip is for applicable to Apple Watch 6, Series 6 and up. So that's when they introduced the blood oxygen kind of reading. And it's also one of the ones that things you need to consider, because I believe the SE, the latest SE, doesn't even have it. But having that kind of the blood oxygen sensor does allow you to utilize a feature inside of health called cardio fitness. I think I mentioned this in a previous tip, but like cardio fitness is a kind of a consolidated, it's their version of putting bits of data together to figure out how, what your overall health is. And in their own kind of description, and it's the VO2 max then helps you measure the amount of oxygen your body consumes during exercise. So it's cardiorespiratory fitness. It measures your the number of breaths you take, if everything else, and the number of oxygen you, and as well as your heartbeat. So with that, that measurement allows you to kind of view over time the trend of your cardio fitness, your overall fitness as a person. Sadly, mine, which it turned out it has been in perpetual low status for the last year or so. I mean, I'm some most of y'all can except you two, I don't know, could probably relate. In the last couple of years, it's been kind of a slow going. But you can head into the health app and scroll down to cardio fitness levels and turn that on as a summary. If you have that, you have to set it up. So it's not something that comes in there default. You set up your age, your gender, weight, and everything else. Enable that. And then you can also turn on notifications so that you know if your cardio fitness is getting low. I do not have that turned on right now. But like overall, it's a really cool thing. It's just not a measure. It's a metric in terms of overall percentage of how you're doing over time. So it's a really cool feature inside the health app.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine now. It says above average. For the last 7 days. But it also gives you, and you can view this by day, week, month, 6 months, a year. You tap on each individual marker, you can get the VO2 max.
Yep.
You can see the actual number, which is cool. Let me look at the year. Year is still above average, so that's nice.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Now check back with me later. See that number fall.
Holiday season.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I love that. I love being able to dive in and find something you didn't know was there. You know?
Yeah. I think that's the kind of the culmination of all the sensors and data that it's collecting. Mm-hmm. And this is what you should be minding. You know, great, your heartbeat goes up and down, your blood pressure, everything else, but like this is the overall trend.
Right. And while we're still waiting for that AI version of this that gives you in plain language what's going on, this is nice to be able to dive into some of this data. But cool. All right, Chris, what do you got?
My first one, Tom, is related to the App Store app on the watch. I used this just the other day because last year I gave my daughter a Paramount Plus yearly subscription for Christmas. And then at the same time, I'm like, well, duh, I'm paying for the same thing. So I said, you know, I wanted to see what my subscription was up. So you can go into the App Store app in your watch and scroll to the bottom because you're going to go through some of the apps that are kind of advertised there. And there's an account button. Tap that. Then you can see your subscriptions and your full list of subscriptions are there. And I can see my Apple or my Paramount Plus expires December 23rd, 2022. So I don't know. I must have bought two at the same time. I think I just Venmo'd her the money, but this year I canceled mine. So I went ahead and canceled it. Didn't do it on the watch. It just shows history of payment on the watch when you actually tap the subscription. But I canceled that and I'm giving, she hasn't listened to the show, but she knows she's getting that again for Christmas. And I just logged on and I put my profile on her version, and now I watch the shows I want to watch in Paramount Plus. So you can see your subscriptions on the App Store app by just, you know, scrolling to the bottom. You can also see what you've purchased, and you can also see what's recently updated, apps have been updated and how. I'm sorry, with what, not how. So you have purchased subscriptions and updates on the Apple Store app.
Is this new to watchOS 9?
I don't know. Tell you how it's true.
Because I honestly, again, this is one of those things that I wasn't aware I could get into that detail on the watch.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew I could do that on the phone, but cool. This is neat. I love that. Yeah. So you can, in the updates, you can actually update right there.
Yes.
Either open them or update them directly from that. But subscriptions is awesome. I didn't know I had that many.
Well, see, that's it. You got to manage your subscriptions, Tom.
Well, I mean, they're all valid. I can justify every one of them at the moment. Cool. The only one I can't justify, because I'm afraid to turn it off, is iTunes Match.
Yeah. What do you pay for that?
I don't even know. Let's see. Yearly, $25.
Oh.
But like,
does it actually make your streams better?
I know what it was initially, right? It replaced the music you had with better versions.
Yeah.
But I also have Apple Music subscription.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I kill Match, what happens to all the stuff it matched?
I have no idea whether or not you can even buy Match anymore. Can you?
I don't know. They keep charging me. It just renewed.
Wow.
Oh, no, it renews January 7th. I got to make a decision here.
See, that you've already learned something.
There you go. Yeah, I'm going to have to decide. Mm-hmm. All right. What do I got next here? Let's talk about timers, okay? Timers. Now, I'm not sure if this is new to it is new in watchOS 9. If you use a certain timer duration frequently, like a lot, you can favorite them in watchOS 9. So you simply open up the timer app, you swipe left on a recently used timer, then tap the star icon that appears. That favorited timer will now live at the top of your timer list until such time as you swipe left and replace it with another one or remove it. So nice to know that you can customize these sound, because I do that a lot. If I'm cooking or whatever, sometimes I got two or three going at once, right? I got something on the stove, I got something in the oven, I got something here, you know, something's got to sit for a while. And I got a bunch of them going. And a lot of times it's the same thing you need over and over. Lately, I've been using Siri to yell out a timer. Mm-hmm. But this is a quick way to just repeat them. The other thing I started doing is when I'm working out, I want to be more consistent with my breaks between reps, you know, between the sets. So I'll just use a timer. Mm-hmm. That way it's more consistent. I know it sounds a little too much detail there, but it really does help in your workout to not sit too, because I get distracted, right? I'm taking a break between reps and I'm noticing something. I'll go do something, whatever, you know, come back to it, or just my mind will wander and I'll start to, it's a little ADD
a sandwich.
Yeah. Eat a sandwich, have some ice cream. But this way it keeps me on track, right? It's like, boom, timer goes off. I got a next set. It's like having a trainer there telling you it's time to go. So this helps a lot to have those timers customized and sitting right there. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Vincent, what do you got?
This is a super simple tip. I normally have my watch on silent. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because it's just bothersome throughout the day. But like one of those little things that they introduced a long time ago was, you know, Mickey being able to read out the time to you.
Oh, yeah.
But you can do that with every watch face. I mean, if you have your the audio up, you can just place two fingers onto the face of the watch. You don't have to be looking at it. And it just reads you the time. It's a really cool thing. I mean, I don't see anybody using it, but it's really cool.
Okay, let's see. Here I go. Two fingers. See if I got this set. I don't think it's doing anything.
Do you have it like silenced?
That's silenced? 47 a.m. There you go.
There it is. Wait, let's do it again. It takes, it's like a delay.
It is? Up for yours?
No. See, now it's not working. I changed watch faces just to see, but.
Interesting.
It did it that one time. Just two fingers on it, right?
Just two fingers. Just place it on your on the screen. No pressing or anything like that.
Huh.
Mine keeps going to edit when I do that.
Oh, really?
You get, mm-hmm. You're pushing too hard there.
Yeah, don't pushing. No pushing. Just place.
That's what I'm doing. Okay.
And you just make sure your audio is on.
Oh, you just set them. Okay. I'm used to, you're not tapping.
You're not tapping. You're just touching. Placing your fingers on that. Yep. Touching.
You're touching. Mm-hmm. Big difference there in getting it to tell you the time.
Wow.
Is there a way to control that volume?
I have no idea. I assume it's based on the volume set on there, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know, that's a good tip because if you're in a situation where you can't really look at the watch, mm-hmm. If you wear your watch at night, right? You don't want to open your eyes or whatever. Just reach over and touch the watch. It should tell you the time. Nice.
Could also be a way to, you know, end a Zoom meeting quickly.
Subtle hint.
Maybe.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
So keeping my theme of apps. So now I'm going to talk about the App Store app on your phone or watch. So it's right after the App Store. So you got two apps consecutive in your scroll list if you're using the list view. And This one, you just tap it. It has four things: orders, saved items, nearest store, and sessions. I've never used sessions, but like orders, I'm looking right now. I have an order that I'm picking up today. It says status preparing to ship. So I know that it hasn't been picked yet, or I shouldn't say that. It hasn't been whatever they're doing at the store. I'm supposed to pick it up, I think, between like 4 and 4:30 or something today. But you can see all your past orders that have been picked up and delivered. So the thing you can't do, though, is check in. I was hoping that you could, you know, like your phone, you can check in and they kind of scan the QR code. You can't do that in here, which is interesting. You should be able to. Just tap your order and boom, you should be able to check in. Saved items, I don't have any if you save items. But nearest store is kind of cool. In the old days when I used to travel a lot, this would have come in handy. Now that I'm not really traveling a lot and I'm going to the same cities when I do, I know if there's a store or not. But what you can do is hit nearest store. It gives you the name of the store with a picture when it's open, how far it is. It gives you a pin in the map. You can touch that and then you can launch maps, right? So you can at least know, you know, get directions to the store. So not, it's pretty cool. You know, it's a nice little app. And then sessions, it just has all the sessions that are at your store as well. And you can call. It has a button for call. But every time I've ever called an Apple store, I don't know if I've ever gotten a live human being. So I don't know if it's a valid thing or anywhere. So anyway, I guess my first two tips are like, you know, using the apps that you use on your phone, use on your watch to the best of their ability. And this one has some capability with, you know, what you've ordered and where it sits. And then, you know, if you want to go visit a store in a new city, you can get there on Maps.
Very nice. Cool. Actually, I didn't have that loaded on my watch.
Oh, you didn't?
I just went in and turned it on. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Nice. I did, again, wasn't sure how extensive the app was, you know, on the watch.
So it's okay. It does a couple things for you.
Yeah, because it doesn't always give you all the same features as you get else, you know, online or whatever.
Right.
On the phone.
Yeah.
All right. Next one I've got here is how to change your calendar view. This may be something people aren't aware of, that not only can you add calendar events in the calendar app on the Apple Watch now, you can also switch to a day, list, and week different views on the in the calendar app. So you simply tap when you're in the calendar app, you simply tap the, what is it, the three was it ellipsis? Mm-hmm. Ellipsis. Those three dots that appear in the corner of the screen. And you tap that, and under view options, you choose up next, day, and list. And when you've made your choice, you tap done. And it really changes the way you use this calendar app, because I really didn't use it that much. But when I can view it in this way, it's pretty cool just to see it. So definitely something to check out if you're, you know, I get stuck in these modes where I only use it one way. And if it doesn't work for me, then I end up not using it. But the fact that you can change this now to view it by day is really cool. I mean, up next is fine, but for me to view in the day, to see everything listed there is really cool in the view.
And you can get a little funky week view too. If you,
Yeah, you can change that as well. There's so many different views and ways to see this now. They've made the calendar app much more useful than it used to be. So,
yes, it's not bad.
Yep. All right. Vincent, what do you got?
That's weird. I can't get back to where it was.
What, in the calendar app?
The calendar app. I can't get back to the
thing
about monthly mode, weekly mode.
Hit the weekly mode and then hit the day, Vincent, and then it goes back to the day.
Yeah, you got to drill back in. Like hitting back actually takes you back to the kind of aerial view of your entire your entire month, and it started stressing me out. Okay.
Don't stress out now.
That's not the purpose of the tip.
We don't want you stressing out.
So as I was digging through the tips, this one has been buried, and it kind of like it disappoints me a little bit to how Apple has kind of They launched the Apple Watch with the ability to send your heartbeat, right? That was the biggest thing. It was so cool. It made you want to buy another watch for someone else. Just send it to another person.
Yes.
It was so neat. But you can still do that. It's just buried inside of like iMessages. You know, you can go to contacts, you can go to messages app on your watch. And then you have to click the little app logo. Then again, you know, there's these two finger thing that you see the little icon with the heart thing there. But the weird thing is, if you don't know this, you don't know that it exists. And there's no guidance. Because it opens up the scribble screen. So you can draw and you can change colors. You can do that and you can send that to folks, right, on the canvas. But if you place, again, two fingers on a canvas, it'll start recording your heartbeat or your fake heartbeat. I have no idea, to be honest at this point.
If it's the real heartbeat, yeah.
Yeah, if it's your real heartbeat, because I think it was before. But but it sends it as a message, to your loved one. And I used to do this all the time, right? Just to be able to, just to ping my wife and go, "Hey, and I'm still here. I'm still alive.
Still alive."
She sent this over, and before, again, I used to only send it to watch users. It was kind of our thing, and now it does actually appear on folks who have an iPhone, and it'll pop up in their messages and send stuff like that. The funny thing is, on the iPhone, you could actually send one back. If you go to the little app thing and on messages and you place two fingers on that little canvas and it'll do the same thing. It'll send a fake heartbeat thing back to the watch user. Obviously when you're in like messages, you can send emojis and GIFs and scribbles and all that stuff and voice messages as well too. But this has been always one of my favorites. Once in a while, I dig it up and I'll send over a message to my wife that I'm still alive. So.
I just sent both of you my heartbeat. How's that?
Thank you.
There it is.
There it is. You got it, right?
It's a digital touch message, I think. Yeah.
So what you do, like you said, you tap on the little the icon where you can do a search for images or whatever, and there's that little heart with the two fingers on it.
Yeah.
Button. Yeah. And that's it's kind of buried there, isn't it?
It is not obvious that you can do that.
A lot of people would look at that icon and not even know what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Much less.
Back in 2000. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I say back in 2015, though, that was one of the big things, like you said, Vincent. And then my granddaughter was 3 and she would scribble and all the scribble stuff. And no one does that anymore either. I get scribbles all the time for her from my son's watch, and now you don't get any of that.
Yeah. It totally brings a smile to your face.
And I think it's not real. Yeah. You're right. The heartbeat I sent you is much faster, I think, than my heartbeat
I think is going right now. Yeah. It's just like, hey, I'm still here.
That's sad that it's not real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, darn.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Chris, you got another one?
I do. So this one is something that I kind of ran across and I was just curious. I'm like, how much storage do I have on this watch? Ultra and how much is used. You know, you can go on your phone and find it all over the place, but you go into settings and then go into general and there is a storage button. Hit that and sure enough it loads and it gives you the pictorial bar, you know, left to right, how much storage you filled up on your 32 gigabyte, and then it lists the colors of the major ones like watch OS, your apps, your media, books, etc., etc. And then it lists all, just like on your phone, you know, podcasts, music, reminders, audiobooks, message, activity. These are the ones that are taking up the top space all the way down. So it's kind of cool to kind of see your storage that you're using on your watch and what apps are using that storage, because I've done it on my phone a lot to see what's kind of going on. And I've never done it on the watch, and I did it. It's kind of neat. So another way to kind of use your watch like your phone.
So what's your number? How much space do you have and how much have you used?
I've used 9.3 of 32.
Yeah, I've used 9.6 of 32.
32. Wow.
Mine
is 32 also.
How much have you used there, Vincent?
I have 22 available. So 23 available. So where is that used?
Okay, so you're about 10 there.
10.
Yeah.
What's your biggest category here? I bet we're all the same here.
Podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the music.
That's number two. Music is number one for me.
I'm a massive podcast guy. Okay. I listen to them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, mine is
photos, it seems.
Oh, yours is a photo thing. Mine photos is way down.
Reminders is third, because I'm a avid reminder user, so that's my third one.
My third one's activity, so.
Mine's audiobooks is my fourth, and I've never listened to one, so I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, my fourth is Audible. But number four, this one, okay, here's a surprise. It's an app, My Radar. For some reason, it's 28.9 megabytes.
Mine is two. But it's sixth on mine, or seventh, because I got some other ones.
Yeah, and you know, if you tap on any of those deals, so if I tap on My Radar, it tells you obviously who the company is, the apps. Oh, it's the actual app size, right?
App size, yeah.
And documents, how much of that is documents and data? So it breaks it down for you.
I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
I learned something to the tip that I gave. There you go. The tip.
Yep. Tip within
double
the tip.
Double tip. It's a double tip. Not like double tap, but double tip.
Not a double tap. That's a little different.
Yes.
It's a double tip. Double tap would be how do you kill the app? Which is actually what I'm going to do next.
Zombie. Zombie.
I'm going to tell you how to force quit an app. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or double tap an app. So if you have your dock set to recent apps, you can simply press the side button once to call up the recent apps, swipe left and tap the red X to close the offending app that you need to quit. The second way is, and this is a little more complicated, is when you're in the app. So let's say you have your dock set to favorites instead of recents, right? And this isn't one of your favorite apps and you need to quit it. When you have that app open on your watch, press and hold the side button until you get the menu of, what is it, SOS, your compass, backtrack now, the power off. And if you're on an Ultra watch, you'll also see a siren option there, menu. Wait till that appears. Take your finger off the button. Then press and hold the crown button. And you're going to see kind of a brief flash of that app. You're trying to force quit, but it should immediately then jump to your current watch face, having force quit that app. It's kind of a weird way to do it from Apple, to have to do these two things. And the way I discovered this, very specifically, was I have an app that was giving me fits where I would open it up and it would just spin, right? The little circle of dots, it would never load. Mm-hmm. I'd have to force quit it and then it would open fine. And it was an app to control my garage door it's called MyQ.
Oh, MyQ, yeah.
And I don't know if it's just not updated for the new watchOS 9 yet or there's a bug. But every now and then I'd have to do that. And so I got real good at pressing and holding those two, the button in and out. So anyway, that's two different ways you can double tap an app.
So very nice. No, that's one I should use more, because I do have some apps I think that are kind of not, you know, they're kind of crazy. I'm like, I never do it enough to memorize it. I just have to Google it.
Exactly. And this, I was having to do this like every day, which drove me nuts. And it still happens. It still happens every now and then that it just locks up for some reason and won't open. And maybe I just need to like completely trash and reinstall or something, but it seems to work if I restart it, that way. But all right. Vincent, you got another one?
I have one last one. Okay. And if you like these types of tips, Apple actually has tips. So if you go onto your watch, there's an app called Tips and you can turn that on. You can dig into it. I haven't actually looked into it much, but it has a bunch of collections. It has the Welcome to Apple Watch. It has what's new in the watchOS, which it has a bunch of things there. Customize your Apple Watch, how to tips to do that, and health and fitness tips. And if you drill into them, some of them are animated. Some of them actually walk you through how to do it, which is actually really neat. What's new with Apple Watch OS, you can drill in. They have little tiny animations. They give you 5 tips, and then you can scroll through those tips. This one has get medication reminders. Totally forgot about that. Yep. So if you, you know, want to, you know, refresh, take a little remedial course on what you can do with your watch, or just, you know, show off to your friends and family when they're in town for the holidays, then you can kind of go through here and just try different things. I think it's pretty neat. It actually has that that walkthrough that if you want to try it, it will go and open up the screen for you, and you know, it'll encourage you to, you know, tap on the right things.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. Chris, do you have one more?
I do, Tom.
Okay.
A month or so ago, I talked about the count up faces and some other faces, but I wanted to kind of drill into the count up face because I've used it a couple times now effectively. You can use a time. You can set a time or do something that's relative to the same. You can set an alarm that's relative to the same. But this count up watch face is really interesting. And I used it, you know, when you charge your electric car, it keeps track of your charge time. But, you know, you're getting off the freeway, you're driving to the charging station, charging, and then getting back on the freeway. So I was like, you know, I'm just I was going to say a bad word, shoots and giggles. I said, I'm just going to use this count up face to see how long I'm really, you know, off the freeway and total time versus just the charging time. So in the count up face, which you can customize, the outer ring is customizable for color. And then there's four complications and then the date. But how you use it is, you know, you just tap the outer ring and it sets the toggle at the minute hand on your watch. And then you just hit start and boom, it's a timer. And it's real time right there. And you can leave it. And the difference is setting a timer is you don't have to go to a separate app to see it and view it. It's right on your watch. Now, there's no alarm setting or anything with it. It just kind of runs. But then you just what happens is the time in the middle of the watch, you just press it again and it goes to another face that says continue or stop. So you can stop it there or just continue it. But another thing you could do is let me stop this. You can, and I don't know if you, where you'd use this, but you can set up the toggle. So your minute hand is with the toggle and it's going to start at zero counting up, but you can use a digital crown and go forward or backwards. So I can start it at 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 minute. So, you know, if you're already 3 minutes into something and you want, you know, to start counting, just set it at 3 minutes and hit start and it starts counting. So that's, you know, it's a little tip about how to use the count up face. And here's an interesting thing, because I actually went on the YouTube to see if there's a video, see how people describe the watch face. And the first one I watched was like this guy saying, if you don't know how to tell time, analog, this watch face is great, because basically when you use the digital crown and say, I want to meet someone in 30 minutes, it tells you where the 30 minutes is, right? At the, I'm like, okay, I guess if you're so used to digital time, you can't do it. That seems like the worst way to use the watch, but that watch face. But anyway, it's a long tip I just put together there, but it's a nice little way to kind of do a quick timer real time on your watch face without opening another app if you're just, you know, kind of counting up.
Nice. Yeah. You hadn't thought about that. It could actually teach you how to tell time with an analog clock.
It can. You know?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's, you know, you think about it, the kids these days, it just, you know, if they've got digital everywhere, teaching them how an actual clock, you know, works would be kind of difficult, wouldn't it? If you're used to just seeing, why would I do that? I can just see it digitally. Why do I need to know what those hands mean? Right.
Yeah. Or put two fingers on the face and have it read to you.
Yeah, there you go. Just touch it. just a quick, final tip here, I guess. And I briefly mentioned it when I was talking about how the force quit goes. And I just realized maybe people aren't aware of this setting either, and that's how to customize what apps are in your dock, right? So the dock is when you press the side button, you see a list of apps that kind of go through. What are those called? Cards or whatever that you kind of flip through, scroll through with the digital crown. You can have it set to favorites, as I mentioned, or you can have it set to recents, your most recent ones. So it kind of depends on the workflow and how you use your watch. And this has changed for me over time. I used to have it set to recents, right? Because I've been using the same apps over and over and over.
Right.
And things have kind of changed. I want different specific ones. And I now find that favorites works a little better for me. Mm-hmm. So that's something else that you might not have been aware of that you can change. You can customize how that dock actually looks. So to do this, you open the settings menu, you tap dock, and you select the favorites options option. So pretty simple tip. But I think it can have quite the effect on how you use your watch day to day to be able to do that. So
it's a great tip.
Do you have your set as recent or favorite?
That was recent. Yeah, I want to switch over to favorites.
Favorites.
Because I find certain ones I'm using more often and but not consistently, so they're not going to appear in my more recent, right? Because I'm going through too many apps during the day or whatever. But anyway. Final tip.
I've started using the dock a lot recently. Well, recently, maybe a year or so ago, because I would not use some watch faces because it didn't have the complications. And I like the one tap thing. I'm like, oh, I got the dock. So I'm like, now I can use watch faces that have no complications or two or something, you know, minimal. And then use, you know, just one tap on the side to get to the dock and then one tap to get the app. So I've used it a lot.
Yeah, it does help. It's funny. I've got the MyQ set at the top there, the one that's causing me problems.
Yeah, the biggest one.
Yeah, the biggest one. So, I use that a lot. There's a gate in front of our driveway, and that's when I go for a run, I'll go out the gate, but I'm not taking my remote with me, and I'm not taking the phone. I'm using the watch to control that. So kind of important that it works, and I check it before I leave. That the app is actually loaded. But that's why I've learned. I'm an expert at force quitting an app now. So,
well, people like us that live in third class neighborhoods that don't have gates in front of their house, you know, we don't have that problem. Real world problem, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, it's funny because when we moved into this house, it's been 27 years now, had much littler kids at home and two dogs. So, we put the gate in immediately when we moved in so the kids could play out on the driveway and not worry about a ball rolling out in the street or the dogs running away or whatever, you know. It was very useful then, and now it's just kind of a barrier, you know, but anyway.
Know the feeling.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, anything else before we end the seventh year with the Apple Watch on our wrist?
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. Not the same watch, by the way, not the same one, although I'm sure some people may still have that original watch that they use. But yeah, it's hard to believe. It's been 7 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Since the first one.
No, just Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, because I know we won't do a show till January. And may the health be there for your family. And yeah, guys, have a great family time.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Yes, you too. I think our next show is scheduled for, don't hold us to this, but the 2nd of January. So a couple of weeks from now. So, all right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode and this year. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thanks to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until next year, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.